think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batsler. I welcome my good colleague Cliff May, the founder and president of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, writing his column in the Washington Times about New York City. Cliff lives in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, which is challenge enough. But now he's looking at New York City, a town I lived in for 50 years. My children are there. I'm north, and all around me are people who are refugees from Brooklyn Heights and the Upper West Side, caused by the pandemic, not by the most recent election. But there are doubts everywhere. People still have property in Manhattan and in Brooklyn and Queens, and they're questioning the leadership of a man who has self-admittedly made remarks that are generally understood as hate speech. Cliff, a very good evening to you. I can't get past the fact that this is a town of a million Jewish persons, a million. You say correctly, the largest gathering of Jewish persons, Jews outside of Israel in the world, an extremely happy place until a hate speaker or someone who characterizes that by others arrives to become the mayor. Well, now the mayor-elect of Manhattan. No one is happy, but especially homeowners. Good evening to you, Cliff.
Good evening to you. And by the way, I'm also New York City born and bred. So even though I haven't been there for a lived there for a while, and my son lives there, by the way.
And therefore, your concern as well. Now, let's take the policy. The first up that Mr. Mamdani talked about during the campaign, after the hate speech that he cannot possibly refute because he said these things, he's indicated these things, he's tolerated these things, but I'm not exploring that right now. I'm exploring policy. A rent freeze. Cliff, what's wrong with that?
Well, what almost all economists at this point understand is that this does not increase affordability over time. It diminishes affordability over time. All you have to do is imagine you're a building owner and rents are frozen. You can't lift them. You have rent control, rent stabilization, whatever it is. You have inflation. You have to maintain your building. This is a bad investment. At a certain point, you may decide, as many people have, many landlords have, just to leave the apartments you have vacant when they become vacant because it doesn't pay any longer to rent them out. Or you may decide to sell the building, maybe at a loss, maybe for not much, and put your money into something else. What is obviously clear is that over time, and this has happened in New York, the stock of rental housing begins to diminish. And as long as that happens, well, that means that there's fewer affordable apartments available to people, right? If you reduce the value of affordable housing, you certainly discourage future investment in affordable housing. And again, it exacerbates the problem it purports to solve. One anecdote I give in my piece, when I lived in New York City years ago, I knew a lovely couple. They had a lovely summer beach house on Fire Island. That was affordable because their lovely apartment in New York was rent controlled. And they viewed that as an entitlement. And I say, you might say they had a New York state of mind where that was concerned. They didn't understand that. Again, I don't expect them to give it up, but as policy, it's very bad.
In addition, I add, because I talk to homeowners now who own their homes, they're cooperatives. Their concern is not just, and the rent control, you make the salient point. Rent control drives up all prices everywhere, whether you're controlled or not, and also leads to the deterioration of the condition of the building. But the homeowners are worried about the damage to their ability to sell their apartments or to pass their apartments on to their children, because there will no longer be confidence that New York is a safe and secure place to do business. That's the concern, Cliff. It's not something you can write down.
But you're right. And on two levels. One is, at a certain point, taxes become just confiscatory if you're giving half here. And people think, do I really want to live in this city where I give so much of my taxes in city and state and federal when I could move somewhere else where I don't have to? And then that makes the apartments for sale less attractive. And then if you end up with defund the police, which is something that Mamdani has been in favor of in the past, then the city becomes less safe and not such a great place to live if you're afraid to be, you know, walk in the streets.
You're a New Yorker. I arrived as an outsider in 1970 on the Upper West Side. Hmm. The streets were dangerous. They were dangerous. I saw fistfights on the street at 111th and Broadway in front of the then bank was right there in the corner. The rents were driven down by bad years of, well, the city had been overtaken by crime. It was out of control. I saw a three-bedroom, maybe even four-bedroom apartment on Riverside Drive. They wanted to rent it to me for $350. That's how low things were. You know, wow, that you cannot inherit such a thing today. Three bedrooms on the Riverside Drive. And that's the product of people doing making right decisions for 50 years. Now that can be reversed. Let's go to another policy that Mr. Mamdani talks about. Free buses. What the heck? What is he thinking, Cliff? Where did he get that idea?
Oh, well, he's a socialist, so he thinks everything should be free. And when he talks about affordability, it's a very odd thing. What should be affordable? Should private aviation be affordable? The fact of the matter is that giving people things for free, they like it. But where does the money come from? And it comes from taking from other people that you don't like to give to people that you do like. That's the way it works. It's why Margaret Thatcher said that the problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money. If you're not a very successful person in New York and he says, I'll give you things for free so you don't have to earn it, I guess that sounds good as long as you don't understand the consequences for the city and you don't understand anything about economy, which you might not if you've gone to an elite college like Columbia, where I went.
And now we turn to security, because that affects the prices of houses. That affects the ability of people to use the buses, which would be unsafe if they were free. We know what happens to the subways when they're not patrolled. We turn to the question of security. The mayor-elect has asked the police commissioner, Ms. Tisch, to stay on, and she said yes. Good for her, because I have been reading about a number of policemen who've decided it's not worth it to stay on with a mayor who has practiced anti-police rhetoric. Do you believe that Ms. Tisch will be enough to hold back the troubles that may be ahead?
Well, I think you're absolutely right that if you're a policeman right now, you think, OK, that's a good thing. If she had quit, I really would be saying what other cities in America I might want to move to. But we have to see how long she stays on. We have to see what happens in terms of policy disputes between her and the mayor that could cause her to leave. We have to see what happens in terms of Mamdani's favoring in the past defunding the police. And we've seen what's happened in many cities where, you know, people are out in the, we just saw it in Chicago, this guy who poured gasoline over a woman and lit her on fire. He had been arrested 49 times and they kept letting these liberal judges kept letting him out on the streets. So finally, he's done something really, really terrible. And again, it gets back to what you were saying. At a certain point, you say, I can't live in this environment anymore. I don't want to if I have a choice. And people may have a choice to move elsewhere.
And I'm genuinely worried. This isn't about me looking at policies and thinking this too will pass. Are you genuinely worried about this for our children?
I'm very worried about the fact that so many young people who have been miseducated and indoctrinated in schools don't understand how bad socialism is, don't understand that socialism doesn't work. It didn't work in the Soviet Union. It didn't work. If you look at North Korea versus South Korea, one went socialist, one went capitalist. South Korea is dynamic. North Korea is a hellhole. I lived in Africa, where countries after decolonization took the socialist path to development, turned out to be a dead end. And of course, is Venezuela, which not that long ago was free, wealthy, democratic. They chose in 1998 Hugo Chavez, and now Nicolas Maduro is in power. It's unfree. It's aligned with Tehran, Moscow, Beijing, Havana. About 8 million people have fled the homeland. It has the largest proven oil reserves in the world, and people are dirt poor and going through the garbage. Now, what I say is, if socialism can't make it there, socialism can't make it anywhere, including in New York, New York.
Cliff May, a New Yorker, his column at the Washington Times. He's the founder and president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.